This is STD Podcast. At the 2013 STI and AIDS World Congress in Vienna last week, Dr. Kyle Bernstein from the San Francisco Department of Public Health presented the results of a study assessing the added value of internet partner services for syphilis and HIV. Dr. Bernstein is the Director of Applied Research, Community Health Epidemiology and Surveillance in the Population Health Division of the San Francisco Department of Public Health, and he is also an Assistant Adjunct Professor in the Division of Epidemiology of the School of Public Health at the University of California, Berkeley. Welcome to the podcast, Kyle.
Thank you for having me.
So first, give us a bit of background to this study. What does the internet potentially add to the provision of partner services?
Sure. So in San Francisco, we provide confidential partner services for newly diagnosed syphilis and HIV among residents of San Francisco. And what we found over time is that over half of our syphilis cases and nearly 40% of the newly diagnosed HIV report meeting partners on the internet. And the challenge in providing partner services for these internet partners is that often we don't have a name or contact information. So in the late 90s, we started developing an internet partner services program at the San Francisco Department of Public Health to explore the possibility of providing these confidential partner services activities for folks that we could only access either through a web-based social network handle or an email address.
Right. So how does it work for you, and who contacts the partners?
Sure. So partner services is a voluntary program that's offered to newly diagnosed syphilis and HIV patients. And trained field staff in San Francisco, we call them DCIs, but in other places, they're often referred to as DIS, meet with the newly diagnosed patient, inform them about the partner services program, and ask them to voluntarily provide the names and contact information of persons who may have recently been exposed to either HIV or syphilis. For persons who have partners who are only available through a web handle or an email address, we collect that information and the field staff will contact the named partner either through the social network site, for example, Manhunt, or directly through an email notifying them that there's important health information that they would like to discuss with them. Our goal is to convert these internet partners into partners that have a name, address, or phone number. So the field staff try to get these partners to provide this information. If they're unwilling or unable, the partner services will continue based solely online. But once we have contact information, we generally try to contact these partners either through the phone or through a field visit.
Right. So it's the DIS that actually contact the partners. It's not the index patient themselves.
No, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So you said that this has been going on since the late 90s. Is that correct?
Yes. We started our partner services, our internet partner services program, while investigating a cluster of syphilis cases that were identified through an AOL chat room. And that really highlighted the need to develop sort of new modern techniques in order to identify persons potentially exposed to either syphilis or HIV. So over the last decade or so, we've been very much involved in refining and developing more robust internet partner services program that we've expanded as we've expanded partner services in HIV and syphilis citywide.
Right. So as far as the study that you presented in Vienna, so how did you conduct that study and what time frame did that cover, and also what were the findings?
Sure. So the question that we were trying to answer was what is the relative improvement in successful outcomes as a result of internet partner services? So we looked at the HIV and syphilis partner services investigations that were conducted between 2006 and 2011 and identified persons who were partners that were initially identified only as an internet partner that we were able to identify some other information about, either a name, address, or phone number, and then were able to contact through more personal interactions, not an internet-based interaction. And we looked at what the outcomes of those particular subset of partners were. And what we found was that for about half of the syphilis and HIV internet partners, we were actually able to get additional contact information for them. And overall, we were able to increase the number of named syphilis partners by 8% and the number of named HIV partners by approximately 11%. And the relative increase in successfully treated syphilis partners was 7%, and the relative increase in the number of successfully tested HIV partners was 8%. So we concluded that the Internet Partner Services program that we've developed is impacting our ability to identify more partners who need either prophylactic treatment for syphilis and or HIV testing for an HIV exposure.
Right. So looking at this a bit differently, do you also have the proportion of successful partner outcomes that were solely due to Internet Partner Services? So for all the people that you were able to provide successful partner outcomes, what proportion is currently sort of solely due to Internet Partner Services? Does that make sense?
Yes. So we do have that information. So among all of the syphilis partners that were named during the study period between 2006 and 2010, 6.7% were successes as a result of Internet Partner Services.
Okay.
And of the HIV partners that were named, 7.3% were successes solely as a result of Internet Partner Services.
Okay. So it's a small, but yet it's an important increase. Do you have a sense that this is ultimately a cost-effective approach?
Unfortunately, we don't have data on cost-effectiveness, but I can say that the amount of work that's needed to do an Internet Partner Service investigation is fairly limited. And given the high cost of both an untreated syphilis and HIV infection, I would imagine that this is likely a cost-effective approach, although I can't say definitively because we haven't done that analysis.
I see. How did partners generally react to this form of partner notification? Were there any negative reactions?
We don't have reports of people reporting any negative outcomes. Unfortunately, some folks who have negative outcomes may not be willing to come and let us know about it. But generally, the people who we're able to work with appreciate the services that we're able to provide and the fact that we've gone to such an effort to try and notify them of a potential exposure and ensure that they get the preventative treatment or other services that may help them in the long run.
I see. So as far as the future, what are sort of your next steps of using this approach in your health department?
Well, we plan to continue to support and grow our Internet Partner Services program. And we're hoping that we can develop sort of best practices for Internet Partner Services and share our successes with other health departments, both in the United States and globally, that are interested in developing a similar program.
You're right. And so there are other programs in the U.S. that have been doing this for a while. What kind of mechanisms do you sort of see by which you could share these best practices? How do you envision that?
So I think there's a number of things. First of all, we spent a lot of time figuring out what's the best way to craft messages in emails and messages sent through sex hookup sites. So making sure that the message is clear, it does not violate any sort of public health law or confidentiality, but is effective in communicating the gravity of the information that we're trying to get across to the person of interest. Mm-hmm. Additionally, one of the things that we learned through this analysis was that, at least in San Francisco, a number of these internet partners get named multiple times over the course of the study period. And because we've established a system that allows us to search on user handles, once somebody is in the system and we've identified who they are based on an internet handle and their name, address, or phone number, when that internet handle comes up again in the future, we're able to immediately begin partner services using the contact information from the prior investigation. So over time, the efficiency of our program has really improved because we've been able to use the results of prior investigations when folks get named again in the future.
So are you suggesting that perhaps these individuals may be core transmitters or are particularly a high risk for transmission of syphilis and HIV?
We don't have information on that. In San Francisco, about a third of our cases of syphilis have reported a prior diagnosis of syphilis. So we do have a fair amount of persons who continually get infected, treated, and then reinfected. We suspect that this is largely a result of HIV positive serosorting. Mm-hmm. But given the high amount of internet partner hookups that occur, being able to maintain these internet partner services programs and to utilize data from prior investigations really helps us move forward in increasing the efficiency of all of the work that we do.
Right, because it seems to me that perhaps the partners that you are able to contact through internet partner notification, they may be different in terms of their risk profiles than the people that are contacted in using traditional means. Do you have a sense that that's true?
We haven't looked at that. One concern that I have is that we may not be powered to be able to detect large differences because the information that's collected on partners who don't turn out to have syphilis or HIV is fairly minimal. Uh-huh. So for really a robust analysis comparing partners that were internet partners to partners that were not, I think we'd have to look over a much longer period of time to ensure that we have the power to detect some subtle differences between the two groups.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us and congratulations on this study.
Thanks again.
Dr. Kyle Bernstein is with the San Francisco Department of Public Health. The study entitled Assessing the Added Value of Internet Partner Services for Syphilis and HIV was presented at last week's STI and AIDS World Congress in Vienna, Austria. SD Podcast is produced by Ben Westergaard for the Internet and SD Center of Excellence. This is Case Rietmeyer for SD Prevention Online.